Setting aside his qualms, Ferguson eventually agreed to visit Cambridge early that spring. He put me in the room next door, and I remember thinking that I'd better make sure that he didn't turn up in the night, so I put a chair up against the door. But nothing happened. By then, Robert seemed to be on the mend. When Ferguson briefly raised the matter, he said that he needn't worry, that he was over that. Indeed, Robert had been seeing yet another psychoanalyst, his third within 4 months in Cambridge. By this time, Robert had read a good deal about psychoanalysis, and according to his friend, John Edsel, he took it very seriously. He also thought that his new analyst, a Dr. M., was a wiser and more sensible man than either of the doctors he had consulted in London and Paris. Robert apparently continued to see this analyst throughout the spring of 1926, but over time their relationship broke down. One day in June, Robert dropped by John Edsel's lodgings and told him that Dr. M. has decided that there's no use in going on with the analysis any further. Herbert Smith later ran into one of his psychiatrist friends in New York who knew of the case and claimed that Robert gave the psychiatrist in Cambridge an outrageous song and dance. The trouble is, you've got to have a psychiatrist who is abler than the person who's being analyzed. They don't have anybody.